In 2018, the Capital General Assembly referred Senate concurrent resolutions 18004 and 18005 to the voters as Amendment Y, which addressed congressional redistricting, and Amendment Z, which addressed legislative redistricting. Both passed with over 70% approval in 2018 general election. Essentially, the measures were very similar in details, except for some of the deadlines, which were staggered by about 2 weeks. Now, joining the Capital Ag News Network and Farmcast Radio this time is the Capital Director of the Western Way and former Capital State Senator Greg Brophy, and former gubernatorial candidate too, once upon a time. First off, Greg, welcome back inside the barn. Before we get into the topic, though, today, over this weekend, legendary National Association of Farm Broadcaster, Hall of Fame broadcaster Evan Slack passed away. And over the years, I'm sure you had some interviews with him or maybe a story to share about Evan.
You know, I'm sad to hear that. And I have a feeling that Evan is in a higher place right now. And I only met him a couple of times in person at various ag conferences, you know, around the state. And I just walked up to him, introduced myself, and told him how much I appreciated always hearing his voice on the radio, and especially when he said higher, higher, because that was a good thing for me.
You bet.
The world's going to miss him.
We do want to say thoughts and prayers go out to the family and friends of Evan Slack, and know he's in a better place. I know health-wise he'd been struggling for a little while, so we are thinking about him here today at the barn. Now let's get back to our topic of discussion. First of all, I guess we better explain what redistricting and gerrymandering is. What are those two terms all about?
Well, redistricting is this thing that has to happen every 10 years after we count all of the people that live in the state of Colorado again, because each of the congressional districts need to have the exact same number of people in them, plus or minus one person, believe it or not. Each of the state legislative districts, so think state house, you know, like Rod Pelton, think state Senate, like Jerry Sonnenberg's seat, they have to have the same size of population, plus or minus about 2.5% either way off of what would be an even number. So if there ends up being 6 million people in the state of Colorado, I think that means that there needs to be 175,000 people in a state Senate seat. And then, you know, plus or minus 2.5% either way off that 175. So all these states have to be redrawn. And, you know, because the Front Range grows so fast, and out at home in rural Colorado, we don't grow hardly at all. We end up losing seats to where the population is, and it needs to be done fairly. And the eyes of the entire world now, or of the entire country, are watching Colorado because of the passage of Y and Z, which you read at the beginning here, to see if this redistricting, the redrawing of legislative seats, can be done in a manner that's fair so that there isn't a bunch of gerrymandering going on. What gerrymandering is it's named after a, and it might be gerrymandering, it's named after this congressman who had a district drawn for him, and his name was Elbridge Gerry, G-E-R-R-Y, and a newspaper editorial said that the district was shaped like a salamander. So they named the drawing of districts to benefit somebody or some party gerrymandering. And it's happened in Colorado the last two times that all the seats were drawn. And what that means is that, for instance, the Republicans can win, oh, say, like they did in 2012, 51.1% of the total votes statewide for the state house of the state house of representatives, but only earn 43% of the seats. So, and that happens a lot. I mean, in 2014, they won 55% of the vote statewide, but only won 47% of the seats. So even though they got a strong majority of the votes statewide for these state house seats, because of gerrymandering, they didn't get a majority of the seats in the house. And, you know, the rules are what the rules are, so we follow them. But the question is, can these legislative seats be drawn in a way that's fair? And the reason this is important to rural Colorado is because only folks from rural Colorado understand the things that are important to people that live in rural Colorado, understand our communities of interest. So, for instance, I always think of the Arkansas Valley as a community of interest. You know, they have a lot of similar things in that matter to all the communities up and down there, like the Arkansas Valley Conduit, or like you know, the water quality related to the Arkansas River, or you know, shared healthcare services and shared all kinds of things, you know, transportation corridors that matter to them. just like I think of the South Platte River as a community of interest. So one time in 2011, during the congressional redistricting, there was an acknowledged agricultural expert who happened to have been a former commissioner of agriculture, who got up on the stand and told the judge, because the legislature failed to draw the districts, these commissions will do it. But this guy got up and told the judge that Douglas County had more in common with Eastern Colorado than Larimer County did, and therefore should be in a congressional seat with Eastern Colorado. And that was done. And I love Douglas County. There's nothing wrong with Douglas County, but that was done to burn as many Republican votes as they could out east, so that they could gerrymander or draw a seat that ultimately Mike Kaufman would lose in an election, because it was packed full of more people on the left of center. And we all, you know, everybody from Eastern Colorado understands that Douglas County is a fine place, but it has almost no agricultural interests at all. I think Douglas County ranks 43rd out of 64 counties in ag production, and I think Larimer County ranks like 10th. So plus it has that little school that used to be really good for ag purposes, Colorado State University. And as an alum, I say that. So we need people from rural Colorado to sign up for these commissions. And Brian, I sent you some links to the Colorado Neighborhood Coalition. It's a group that I work with to try to help people get signed up for this, and to the actual a link to the state's site for signing up and actually going through the application process. It's a long process, and there aren't enough people signed up right now. I just checked this morning. There's like 120 people signed up. That's it. And we need more. We need more people from rural Colorado, because when we start drawing congressional districts, for instance, again, only people from rural Colorado will understand the importance of keeping the West Slope whole as a congressional district, because they have so many interests in common. And we're going to need a congressional district, we hope, for Eastern Colorado, in a way that doesn't force us into a district, you know, that's dominated by suburban counties. And, you know, there may be some question about whether Larimer County should be with Eastern Colorado, or whether maybe Pueblo County should be with Eastern Colorado, any of those things. So that's important. And it's really, really, really important that we get as many people from Eastern Colorado as possible signed up for these two commissions. There's one for state legislative seats, and there is one for the congressional seat. So there's two separate commissions, and you can sign up for both of them. And hopefully we'll get a lot of folks from Eastern Colorado interested.
You bet. My guest once again is the Colorado Director of Western Way and former Colorado State Senator Greg Brophy. It kind of puts more emphasis on the 2020 census and why people in rural Colorado should actually participate and get that done. And you're not out of time yet, but it's closing in fast.
It is closing in fast, and it really is important. You know, we all know how many people were moving into Denver. It's something like 10,000 people a month there for a while moving into Denver. There's only 10,000 people in all of Yuma County if we all get counted. So we need everybody in Eastern Colorado counted. It goes towards making sure that we have as much legislative representation as possible. You know, the Colorado legislature doesn't really want rural Colorado to have as much representation as we have had. They changed the law last year, Brian, to count people that are housed in the prison at Sterling, for instance, instead of counting them as living in Logan County, which is, by the way, where they live. Instead of counting them as living in Logan County, they try to count them from wherever their last known address was when they were before they went to prison. And that's so, trying to take representation away from rural Colorado.
You bet. So folks need to go on the census if you haven't done it yet and get that done right away. Where does the Colorado Neighborhood Coalition come into the equation, and what's their mission?
You know, our job is just to help get fair maps drawn and to help people with, you know, the right kinds of characteristics. You know, someone who's a leader in their community, who's good at reaching consensus with other folks, things like that, helping them get their application all the way through the process. And you know, we could even help with, you know, helping you find people to write letters of recommendation for you if you needed to. So it's just this little group that we have a call like once a month to say how we're doing and see who needs help getting their application through the process. And you know, so we keep looking at who's applied or who started the application process, and and try to reach out to them and say, hey, what can we do to help you finish this up to try to get the numbers, especially from rural Colorado, up as high as possible.
So there's two citizen commissions that have been appointed. Can anybody serve on these commissions, Greg?
Yeah, there are two that will be appointed. And it's kind of a complicated thing. The application process started in August, and so we're still in the application process, and it runs until November, mid-November. And then in February, the last three retired judges from Colorado's appellate court or Supreme Court will choose will narrow the list down to like 50 people, for 50 Republicans, 50 Democrats, and 50 unaffiliated, and then their names are just chosen by lot for the first six, and then the last six will be picked by the judges from folks that are still remaining in the process, trying to round out representation across the state, trying to make sure that somebody's from the Western Slope, somebody's, you know, from over here. If there aren't enough women, they'll probably try to put some women on there, things like that. I mean, they're tasked with making the commissions representative of Colorado. And who can be on it is anybody who isn't or hasn't most recently been an elected official at the state ledge level. And you can't have been a county party chair for the Democrat or Republican Party. And here's a kicker. One of my friends, you probably know Casey Mason, who's a former reporter at the state capitol. She wanted to apply, and I wrote her a letter of recommendation. And she was applying as an unaffiliated voter, but she had, before unaffiliated people got ballots for both parties, she had affiliated for one day long enough to vote in a primary and then switch back to unaffiliated, but that tipped her out. So because you have to be affiliated the way you are now for the last 5 years in order to qualify. And that's to keep people from trying to game the system. Trying to keep a diehard Republican from registering as a Democrat and trying to get on as a Democrat onto the reapportionment redistricting commission. So you can't if you've been elected official or if you've run for office, you can't sign up for these commissions. Otherwise, it's open to folks, and it's going to take a little bit of time. They're going to meet in multiple locations around the state starting in April, I believe. And they'll be done with their work by about October next year.
This may be a loaded question, but do you have faith in that system as they select these two citizen commissions?
You know, it. that's why I say a little bit, yes. To the extent that you can make an inherently political process apolitical, I think the two initiatives that we voted on, or referred measures that we voted on, are about as good as you can possibly get. The map is going to be drawn by nonpartisan staff at the Capitol. I'm hoping that they will truly be nonpartisan when they draw it. And I think the whole country is watching this to see if it can be done in a way that isn't political. And then in order to make changes to the, so we got this really weird and long process for choosing the people to be on the commission. Some of it is random luck for half of the people. It's random luck. You have to apply, but random luck if you get on the committee. And the other half are purposefully chosen. But it takes 8 votes of the 12 people to make a change to the map drawn by legislative council after all of the hearings have been heard around the state. And the hearings, you're going to get people, you know, like, you know, I'll probably come in and comment on the earlier map that was drawn. Because they're going to draw a map, go around and have hearings, and let people comment on it. Here's what's right with it. Here's what's wrong with it. And, you know, so for instance, if they tried to draw Douglas County into the 4th Congressional District again, I'd be inclined to show up and say, look, you know, I like the folks in Douglas County just fine, but Highlands Ranch isn't really a ranch.
Good point. Maybe that's what the other guy was thinking when he made that comment.
Maybe. We'll be charitable for him. Maybe. Yeah,
it's going to be interesting to see. So it wouldn't, the redistricting wouldn't apply until which election? The 2021 or 22 or what?
22. Yep. 22. Yeah, good question. Thanks. Sorry for not. So what happens is that the census happens in a year that ends with a zero. Redistricting happens in a year that ends with a one, and it really has to be done by the end of that year so that people can run for office in the year that ends with a two. So, you know, for instance, there's always been contests, you know, lawsuits filed over these things. And the one in 2002 or in 2001 drug on for, it was February of 2002 before it got settled. And yours truly was running for office that year, but I didn't know it at the time because I thought my state representative had one more 2-year term before he got term limited out. So I wasn't thinking I would run for office until 2004. Then the maps came out and everybody lined up to run for seats that they wanted to run for. And our seat in Eastern Colorado ended up being an open seat. So I announced in late March that I was running for election to the state house in 2002 there. So I had a very short runway to run for the primary, which I ended up lucky winning. But so that's why things have to be known in as soon as possible in 2011, so that people who want to run for office in 2012 know whether or not they live in the district that they want to run for.
Well, I've definitely learned something right now because I didn't know that it happened this way every 10 years. So the same thing happened in 2010 and 11, and then now we're going through it again. I know we probably covered this, and you said it best. The whole country's watching Colorado right now. Did we cover all of how Y and Z works then, or is there more to explain on that?
Oh, you know, mostly it's please apply. And if you apply, the first six are going to be chosen randomly. That what they'll do is they'll narrow all of the Republicans, unaffiliated and Democrats down to 50 people based on their application, you know, letters of recommendation, a history of showing the ability to work with other folks. You know, have you been on boards and commissions in the past, you know, or like you're on the Farm Bureau board, or you're on some sort of board where you have to, or hospital board or school board, something where you have to, you know, work with other people. They'll narrow all the applicants down to 50 Republicans, 50 Democrats, and 50 unaffiliateds, and then choose six names randomly, two from each out of that. So you'll have now two Democrats, two Republicans, and two unaffiliateds chosen. Then the state legislative leaders will narrow down to 10 people. And then the judges get to hand pick from those 10 people of each party, and then hand pick two additional unaffiliated people to make sure that the state's well represented in both of the commissions. So that's the selection process. Then legislative council is going to draw a map based on a series of criteria, which include communities of interest. Can you make it somewhat competitive, the district, so that you have, you know, an even shot for either party to win, minimize splitting of county and city boundaries, things along those lines. And then they'll go around the state and have hearings to get, you know, take input from people all across the state of Colorado on the proposed map, go back, draw a new one, and then the commission will vote on making changes to that last map that was drawn by legislative council, nonpartisan staff at the state capitol. And we'll have a process that the entire country is going to be watching to see if you can redistrict legislative and congressional districts without being hyper-partisan.
So is Colorado the only one that's got a process like this, or other states similar, or are they watching it because they want to model after what Colorado's doing?
We had a commission for state legislative seats, but it was hyper-partisan because it wasn't very well done. Iowa has a system that Colorado looked fairly closely at. California has a system that the people in Colorado looked really closely at when they were devising Y and Z. And so we built off of those two systems, a system that I think is as good as anywhere in the country. And so there is a lot of political movement, you know, in other states to do away with redistricting that leads to gerrymandering and unfair drawing of seats that gives advantage to one party over another. And so I think there's a whole bunch of states and good government organizations that are going to be watching Colorado to see how we do.
So what's the best way for folks to learn more and get signed up if they want to join one of these two citizen commissions?
So the you can go to the ColoradoNeighborhoodCoalition.org website, and we have a link there that says, I want to apply, and we can help you with that application process, or you can go straight to the state's website. And I know I sent you that link, Brian, this morning. I can read it off here in just a second by pulling up that email.
I've got it up on the screen here, too, for those of you watching on the video interview.
Yeah, that's Colorado Neighborhood Coalition's website, and I sent you the address for the directly for the states, which is redistricting.colorado.gov.
You bet. Got that pulled up here as well, and there's how you can apply for the commission on the Y side, the Amendment Y, and also for the Amendment Z side.
But yeah, you should probably apply for both.
Okay.
Because there's a chance, you know, it's the same application process, so it's kind of redundant for you when you do it. You'll be able to apply for both, and you have twice as good a chance then of getting selected.
You bet. There's some contact information down there if you need any additional help on that side of it. But there's the website as well for the Cooperative Neighborhood Coalition, and that Greg mentioned. Before I let you go, any final thoughts or something we might have missed that you want to make sure folks know about besides – make sure they're registered to vote, because that's coming up November 3rd. And actually, I think the ballots are going to be going out. The mail-in ballots are going to be going out pretty quick.
I think mail ballots are going to be issued October 9th or something like that.
That's not very
somewhere.
Far away.
So it's coming really soon. Because here it is. It's already fall. I've already blown up all my watermelons, so we're done with watermelon harvest now.
I miss that.
If you guys have questions, if you can't remember these, if you're listening to this on the radio and you can't remember any of these things, you know, my email address is really easy to remember. It's just senatorbrophy@gmail.com. So email me and I'll help you send you the links that you need.
You bet. We'll put links adjacent to this interview as well. Thanks to my guest once again, the Cooperative Director of the Western Way and former Cooperative State Senator and former gubernatorial candidate, Greg Brophy. Greg, I wish you all the best. Hope you stay safe. God bless you and your family, and we appreciate all that you do for the citizens of Colorado, even though you're not in office anymore.
I can't keep away from it. We'll talk to you later, Brian.
All right, take care.